Jump into the Word of God, see what He has for us. He has a message for us today. We're going to talk about your role in the body of Christ. And I'll define the body of Christ and the church and some of those things and get into some of the role kind of stuff today. But there's really an overall message we need to get as a starter for this series. But let's start with prayer. Father, we lift our hearts to You, Father. We thank You that, Father, You have promised us that You are at work in our life, Lord. You never leave us nor forsake us. You will finish the work that You started in our hearts, Lord, that You have begun a good work in us. You will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Till we go to be with You or You come back, Lord, we are in it to win it. We are in it with You. And Lord, we thank You for that. Thanks for showing up and showing out in our life, doing things that are beyond us, things that we could not do on our own, that we can lean on You and trust You and acknowledge that You are at work and have done these things. Lord, we thank You for it. Father, this morning we pray that help us to understand, Lord, what our role is, what You have us here on this earth for, what our purpose in life is. Father, we thank You for it, praise You for it, reveal it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So what is your role in the body of Christ? If somebody asked you that, could you define it? Could you say, well, my role is... Okay, some of you are, you know, maybe I can define mine pretty decent, some parts of it at least. So far they call me a pastor, right? So I have that going for me. Does anybody really care about what your specific role is in the body of Christ? In the kingdom of God, let's call it that. You know, do people really wonder about that? Do we really ponder on, you know, what is my role in the kingdom? What does God have me here for? Hey, is it really that important of a topic? I mean, is it really something that we should press into? I mean, if there's something to be done, let's say in the church, and you don't do it, somebody else will just step up and do it, right? Wrong. Okay, now there are certain things that could be done. Okay, if... Let's say, I noticed Emily was saying, well, yes, because she makes the coffee every morning. If she didn't make the coffee for the church, somebody else could step in and make coffee. I've made very horrible coffee. Oh, and she said no. Nobody can make coffee like Emily can make coffee. Okay, and that's the point. She might not be here to make coffee. I could go make the coffee, and everybody, I've heard complaints already when I've made coffee. I don't know how much coffee to put in there. I don't know how much water she puts in there. Okay, there are certain things that she does. In time, I might be able to learn some. But the point is, the body of Christ cannot successfully accomplish everything that God wants, its purpose. Okay, the body of Christ has a purpose when parts of it are either missing or not functional. Okay, not functioning like they're supposed to. To put it in a natural thought process or kind of natural terms that you can probably relate to, think about trying to tie your shoe with one hand. Okay? Or trying to drive your car without being able to see. Okay? If there's some part that is not functioning like it's supposed to, it's going to make it extremely difficult. Okay? Now, you might adapt to what's missing. You might just wear slip-on shoes, right? Solve that problem pretty quick, wouldn't it? You can put on slip-on shoes with one hand. You might adapt your driving or your ability to transport or to get somewhere by taking a taxi. Just rely on somebody else. Make a phone call, whatever it is, and you can still get from point A to point B. So you can make adaptions. You can adjust, make adjustments, things to be able to adapt to what's missing. But if God's plan was that you wear lace-up shoes, and God's plan is that you drive yourself, and yet we make long-term adjustments, okay, we make an adjustment, start wearing slip-on shoes, but we do it for the long term and just never look back, okay, or if we make adjustments and never get back to doing what God really wanted us to do. We never do go to lace-up shoes. We never do drive ourselves. At that point, we are missing God's very best. God had something that he was orchestrating, helping us to put together. We made adjustments, because we didn't quite have it at the time or whatever, or somebody didn't fill that role. So we made adjustments, but then we kind of go through life never going back to the real thing that God wanted. We're missing something at that point. Okay, you are specifically designed by God to fulfill your part in the body of Christ. Okay, let's look at some scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. It says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose." In other words, we're not all supposed to be identical in our role within the body. We all have different things that God has brought, that he has chosen that we bring into the body, or that we are that part. Just as detailed and miraculous as the human body is, okay, think whatever, bringing new life into this world, or a cut that heals itself, or a bone that mends, or the thought processes of a brain, how many it can do per second. Those kinds of things are phenomenal miracles of God. But just as miraculous as God made the human body to be, he also formed the body of Christ with Jesus as the head, and you and I as parts or members, literally organs of that body. Each organ and part does something specific for the body. Okay, now you might ask yourself, why focus on the body of Christ? Okay, shouldn't we be focused on the head? Okay, on Jesus himself and God and Holy Spirit. If you'd listen to the world around us, it wouldn't appear to be that important to think about the body of Christ, or the church, if you want to call it that. Church and fellowship with other believers are just, for some people, kind of an add-on in life. You ever see sometimes, this is a side note, but you get into like a new car site or a new, you know, motorcycle site or whatever, and you can actually build your Harley, you know, whatever you want. You click on this and yep, I want the air conditioned seats, I want the, you know, tinted windows, I want the, you know, whatever, handlebar warming grips, you know, I want that, I want the backrest, and you can click and pretty much build whatever you want. It's called an add-on, or you can get an add-on package or whatever it is. Okay, well, church has become kind of an add-on for a lot of believers that some people participate in, but is it really that big of a deal if you're not completely engaged with the church? You know, you could live without an add-on, in other words. Unfortunately, church has kind of become like an extracurricular activity in a lot of Christians' lives. Okay, something that they can kind of take it or leave it, okay, not really thinking much about it if something prevents them from being a part of that. Now, you might think that I'm probably just a little biased, right? Being a pastor, okay? Of course he wants more people to come to church, so he has more people to preach to, right? I mean, you could think that way, but I'd say wrong again. Okay, for me, my goal as a pastor is not just to fill the pasture with sheep. pasture, not pastor. Okay, my goal is not to fill the pasture with sheep. That's more of the work of an evangelist, if you know what an evangelist does. We're going to talk about that at some point. Okay, it is my role to do my very best to ensure that the sheep who are part of the flock are safe, they're healthy, and they're flourishing the best that I can help them to do that. Okay, it's a huge part of my role. You talk about what is your role. Okay, it's a huge part of my role in the body of Christ to pay attention to the water supply. In other words, the Word of God. To pay attention to the flow of the Holy Spirit. Is it flowing? Is it doing what it's supposed to do? And to guide you into that plush green grass so that you can be well fed, get the nourishment that you need, get God's holy word in you to the point that it does something, that it nourishes and keeps you sustained. I spend a lot of my time tracking down strays. Okay, think about a shepherd. Okay, that's what they do. I spend a lot of my time tracking down strays, trying to guide them back to the flock, okay, back into the fold. I spend time tending to the sick sheep. Okay, I spend time healing their wounds. Okay, paying attention to and fighting off wolves and other predators that might try to come into the fold or into the flock. As a pastor, I notice it. I'd say I literally feel it in my soul when people stray from the flock. I feel that. I sense it. I know it. When one of the sheep under my care is wounded, a wolf got to him at some point, those kind of things hit me pretty hard. I sense it. I feel that part of the flock is wounded. Okay, when you are hurting as a shepherd, I agonize over your suffering with you. Okay, I sense that. You could even ask my family at some point how often I am found defending you all. Okay, I'm constantly, probably to a fault at times, standing up for you, giving you the benefit of the doubt, believing for your intentions to be the best, believing that God is at work, God is still doing something. You know, later on in this series, I'll go more into the role of the pastor as we kind of get into some of the responsibilities, some of the tasks of the fivefold ministry of a church or a ministry. Okay, some of you know the pastor, the prophet, evangelist, apostle, teacher. Okay, some of those kind of roles. What are they supposed to do? How do they help the body of Christ thrive? Okay, we're going to find that out. I honestly believe there are people in here that are filling or should be filling some of those roles. Okay, you're called into ministry. For right now, for today, what I need to do is establish the biblical fact that you do have a specific role in the body. Okay? You do not need to be a pastor or an evangelist in order to serve in the kingdom of God. Okay, there is ample opportunity. Okay, there is a lot of parts to a body, in other words. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read up through 18. I want to read the next couple verses here, starting in verse 19. It says, if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Okay, that is a tremendous picture of the unity that is sought within the body of Christ. When we better understand our role within the body, we can more effectively serve our Lord Jesus Christ, our head. Okay, and by your role, I want to define a little bit. Okay, I mean both your general assignment as a Christian, something that every believer is given a ministry of a certain sort by the Lord. Okay, and I want to talk about some of those kind of things, but also your specific role within the body. Okay, think about it like this. Our ears and our nose and our mouth are all used to gather information, right? But our ear hears, and our eyes see, and our nose smells. So in a general sense, they are all receptors, but individually they are very specific in what they are capable of. Do you see how they work together? Okay, you ever have a food that smells funny so you just can't eat it? Okay, it tastes funny then because it smells funny, or it looks funny, it has a funny texture, or whatever it is. There are certain things that just stand out. That is a sensory perception. You're picking up on several different things all at once. Okay, eat something without looking at it, you might have been able to eat it, right? Okay, it is critical for you to grasp the hope of your calling. Okay, because there is a hope in your calling. Did you know you're called? God gave you hope. He wants you to have something to look forward to, something positive out there that is, this is why I'm here. Okay, you have a hope of your calling as a child of God, and as you live it out, your role as part of the body of Jesus Christ will come to fruition more and more. You'll get more satisfaction out of life. I want you to listen to a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for his brethren. Okay, his brothers and sisters in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 15, he said this. He said, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, so that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Okay, in other words, God has put all things under Jesus and has appointed him to be the universal and supreme head of the church. That headship is then carried out and exercised through the church, through his body. It is then through the church or through the body of Christ that his role as the head is completed. Okay, it's fulfilled in that manner. Okay, that makes what you and I do through the Christian church vitally important to the kingdom of God. Okay, you have a job within the church, and finding that, fulfilling that assignment, is vital to the success of Christ himself. You know, imagine if one of your organs chose not to function today. One of your organs chose not to function today. Do you really need a liver, kidneys, a mouth, a tongue? We'd find out pretty quick that it affects the whole body, just like that. Your eyes stop working today, you would notice that. Right? Your tongue stopped working today, you would notice that. It is going to have a negative repercussion in some way. Now, throughout this series, you're going to hear me using the term church a lot, about your role in the church. Okay, I plan to use it in the same manner in which the Apostle Paul used that word. He used the word ecclesia, okay, for the word church. Okay, it's a Greek word. It literally means, and he meant it as both the local gathering place of believers, like this is the church, okay, as well as to describe the bride and the body of Christ as a whole. Okay, his body as a whole, his bride, that is the church of Christ. Okay, now Paul saw the church as a place where the, quote, saints would gather together and be sanctified from the world, kind of set apart, made different. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, 33, Paul said it like this. He said, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." In other words, as in all the gathering places of the saints, there is to be peace and not confusion. In another place, Paul describes the church as the place where the spiritual gifts of the members are demonstrated or exercised. Okay, they're put into play, in other words. Think about having but not using one of the main organs that God has given you. Okay, think about your eyes, for example. Okay, God gave you eyes so that you can see His beautiful creation, so that you can enjoy life, you can function more, get things done. You know, we had a power outage out at our place at Fort Steele just a few days ago. It was at night, middle of the night. And out in the country, I don't know, probably is in town too, but we noticed it very much that when the power went out, it took out the whole neighborhood, so all of Fort Steele. So even our neighbors, a quarter mile, half mile, a mile away, across the river, whatever, everybody was without power. And in the middle of the night, the moon was not out or behind clouds or something. It was pitch dark. I mean, dark, dark. To the point, one of the family members actually said about that night, they said it was like being blind. You couldn't see a thing, even though you were looking with your eyes. Okay, well, until you add some light, you know, you have a, grab a flashlight, a candle or something, your eyes are open, but they're not doing you any good. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, it's the same with what God has given you to bring to the table in the body of Christ. Okay, you have something. If you avoid fellowship, if you avoid gathering with the church, that ecclesia, okay, if you avoid that, you will have the resource, but you will not be doing you or anyone else any good. Okay, we may have eyes even within the body, but they won't be benefiting the body because they're not being used. Okay, that's why he said the body of Christ, the ecclesia, is the place for the manifestation of the gifts of God that God has put into your life. It is where those things come into play. Now, we're going to talk about some of the spiritual gifts in the future. We're going to talk about the ecclesiastical offices. I kind of mentioned the pastor or the prophet or teachers, missionaries, those kind of roles. We're going to talk about some of the functions literally within the church, things like encouragement, okay, exhortation, generous giving, administration, leadership. Okay, and then we're going to talk, of course, about the gifts that God has given or brought in, specific abilities, spiritual abilities, things like wisdom, a word of knowledge. Things like healing and tongues and those kind of things that God has brought to the body to be used for the glorification, edification of Him and glorification of Him and edification of the body. It is imperative that you utilize and that you exercise the gifts that God has given to you. He imparted to you these things through the Holy Spirit so that the body can function at its very best. Okay, if God has given you spiritual eyes, say to be able to see the future, but you do not share that with me or with others within the body, it will do no good. It will not benefit the body. Okay, and we're either all going to suffer together because of it, or at the very least, our experience is going to be less than the very best that God could have done if those gifts had been put into play. Okay, in a universal sense, Paul used that word church. He explained that the church is the body of Christ, literally the flesh of Christ. Okay, if you look at how it's interpreted, meaning that we are literally his hands and feet carrying out his will. Okay, the will of Jesus on the earth. Okay, that's a pretty critical task to leave undone, something we don't want to leave undone. Okay, now, how, you know, you think about how many more people could we lead to Christ? How many more lives could we change even within the body if people were exercising their gifts and functioning like God has given us the ability to do? Okay, well, over the next few weeks, we're gonna press in. Okay, we're gonna hopefully help you discover what your roles are within the body of Christ. What is God calling you to? Okay, we're gonna be looking at some specific areas of service, things that you can physically do if you want. Okay, we're gonna look at things on, and hopefully some of them are gonna connect. Even as some of the ministry offices and some of those things, you might connect with that and have an aha moment like, that's it. That is my purpose on the earth. That's why God saved me. God has a purpose and a plan for my life. Because I promise you that God saved you on purpose for a purpose. Okay, you're not saved for no reason. You're not saved just to get your ticket. Okay, God has a plan and something he wants to do through your life. He wants to use you in other people's lives, just like the Bible says. That's why we esteem others better. That's why God teaches us so much about interacting with one another. God wants us as the body of Christ to function like that, to flow like that, to have unity. Okay, and that's when you get to those fivefold gifts, that's one of the things that he says they're for, is for the unification of the church until we all come into one thought process, so to speak, that we all believe on Jesus and have his strength flowing in and through us. Amen. I'm going to leave it there this morning. We're going to get more specific over the next few weeks. I'm looking at probably, I don't know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, maybe. Just the fivefold would take five if I did on each week on each one. So I just want you to be thinking along that line, but I want to get into some of the other stuff, the hospitality, the serving, the administration, the leadership, the functional things that make God's body, Jesus, do what it's supposed to do so that we can begin to function the best that we very, very best that we can in our community. I think it'll change not just your lives, but also the lives of our community are going to be touched if we can grab onto this. So. Let's pray. Father, we praise you this morning. We thank you that, Father, you have done a work in our lives. You have saved us for the reason. You have a specific calling for each one of us, Lord. And beyond just sharing Christ with one another or others around us, Lord, that it goes deep, that there are things that you want us specifically to do within this portion of your body, within this community, within our area of influence. And Lord, as we press into you, I pray that you'll reveal it. Help us to see it. Help us acknowledge it. Help us understand it. Help us step in it. Help us walk in it. Help us fulfill it and accomplish the things that you want us to through this, Lord. We pray you. Thank you for it. Thank you for all the work you've done up to this very moment, Lord, to get us right here, right now, so that we can now receive and continue going forth in what you have for us. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and thank you. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen.